Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Religious liberty will be protected, and a law that requires free preventive care will not discriminate against women.
Today, the Ninth Circuit of Appeals said to our family and millions of Americans that we are equal under the law.
The dissenting opinion by Judge Smith said very clearly that there is a very rational and legitimate government reason for the protection of marriage between only a man and a woman.
For he took the uncleanness and captivity of all nations upon himself on the cross. He really and truly traded places with us all, that we be set free, the unclean made clean again.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
When it is there, it is great. And when it isn't, it's terrible. And I have witnessed as a pastor the best of this. When there is trust between a pastor and his people, a pastor and the leaders of his congregation, it is remarkable how well things go. It's remarkable about how that trust fosters love between pastor and people. When it isn't there, and I've seen this, I must say, from the outside looking in, when it isn't there, it brings tragedy to a congregation. It is sometimes, at least in human terms, impossible to rebuild it once it has been broken. But of course, we know that with God, all things are possible. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 10th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to continue a three-part series with Pastor Timothy Meck talking about pastors and elders, and today building trust between pastors and elders for the first half hour or so of Issues Etc. live this Friday. A little bit later, we'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites laid out for you to listen to and to vote on. You could vote in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, and listen in advance. And you could also wait for about a half hour and vote for soundbite of the week when we play soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Timothy Meck is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another. Tim, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Last time we talked about how the issue of authority, rightly exercised authority, whether in the hands of the pastor or the hands of the elders, really is born of God's word. And you say that the trust between pastors and elders must also be born of God's word. What do you mean?
Do you believe in yourself or do you believe in God? If you remember, we talked about how by believing in yourself, you're in the realm of power, and power is a limited ability. It comes from us, and we're limited, finite human beings. And so we can only have power at the expense of someone else as much as we can get for as long as we can get it. We talked about how that was in Satan's realm. Or do you believe in God, and then you're in the realm of authority? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he authorizes us to be his people, to be his disciples. And if you remember with authority, that's an unlimited ability. You cannot exercise authority unless you're under authority, and it's never taken. And you exercise authority by authorizing others to act. So the more I give my authority away, the more authority there is, the greater my authority is. And so I want you to think about it this way. If you believe in yourself, then in terms of trust between people, trust between pastor and elder, it's a power play. It's seeking to one person to have one over on the other or take something from the other. And so we're working against each other. You believe in God and God's authority, which is exercised through his word, then we have access to the extraordinary. I mean, you can love your enemies. You can do good to those who hate you, and you can overcome even death. That's what I mean.
So let's talk a bit about when it isn't there. And you've seen it. I've seen it. Any person who spent much time around any congregation has probably seen it. When trust is broken or disintegrates between pastor and his people, talk about the dangers to both pastor and people in that situation.
It's totally destructive. And I think it's born of this fear of being vulnerable to another person or opening yourself up to another person. We think that somehow someone's going to take advantage of us, or somehow we're going to be left out to dry, if you will, if we open up to someone. And I think it's really hard for pastors to open up to elders because they perceive them as maybe, seeking to, well, I don't know what the word is, to rule over them and or to take charge of things. And so that can be very difficult for a pastor to entrust himself to an elder, and yet that's what we're called to do. I mentioned in Philippians how Paul says, you know, in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And the only way you can do that is to trust that Christ is with you and he's going to make it work. But when you don't do that, then it's just a matter of wills, a matter of fighting against one another, and the one with the most power is going to win, and everybody loses.
In either case, either the worst-case scenario that you have laid out there, where everyone's simply vying for power over against the other person, or the best-case scenario, where everyone is rightly exercising God-given authority in service of one another and in care for one another, there's going to be conflict, isn't there?
Sure. I mean, Jesus is crucified. But who was he crucified for? I mean, for us, for the life of the world. So often in power struggles, we forget what this is about. It's not about Tim Beck as a pastor or one of the elders. It's about the Lord and his church. And, you know, that's what needs to happen. I have this, well, from the scripture, speak the truth in love without sacrificing either the truth or love. Remember what you're there for. You're not there to win an argument per se. You're there to reconcile as brothers and sisters in Christ.
I noted this long ago, and it seems to be, it's not just a malady of the church, Pastor Meck, but it certainly infects the church in a particularly toxic way. It's a malady of our culture, perhaps. We have lost the ability to disagree with someone, politics, whatever it may be, without demonizing that person. And in the church, that happens too, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. In fact, I equate road rage with church rage. I mean, we're very, very quick at getting angry and mad when we don't get our way or if someone hurts us in some way. And then what we end up doing is we tell everybody else except the person who hurt us, and we don't give that person an opportunity, for example, to repent or to work it through with them.
So one more question before we get in. You have a kind of a neat way of thinking about people as pastors and congregations that will help us kind of maybe be a little more gracious with one another. But before we get to that, there is in the church a remedy, not for conflict, but for this kind of animosity and hatred that is often born in us of conflict. What is it?
Confession and absolution. To confess our sins to one another, to entrust what's wrong with us, and to receive absolution. That's the remedy, is ultimately the gospel of Jesus Christ, to trust that his word will bring us back together, that his word will reconcile us. And even if we don't agree on certain things, we can walk out together as brothers or sisters in Christ when we have that word that keeps us together as his people.
Let's talk about how you, and I don't want this to sound too cut in stone, but you have categorized certain personalities that you have found in the church that you think, with these categories in mind, may help us understand one another. You call them the doer, charmer, connector, and perfectionist. With about a minute and a half before our break, talk about the doer. Who is this?
The doer gets things done. He or she highly effective. They're task-oriented. They care more about getting things done and doing things than maybe even the people involved. On a weak part of a doer is that tends to be a poor listener because he already knows what he needs to do. A doer, though, is highly effective. A weakness of a doer is he doesn't listen, maybe not even a people person. Maybe sees people only as a way of getting things done. With these personality styles, we all have four, and they're categorized in a lot of different ways. But I think it's helpful to think about these things because not every conflict, I mean, every conflict has sin with it. But sometimes people get put off by simply areas of personality, which we can address if we understand those. We can address them and talk about them and then maybe use them instead of as a way of getting in conflict with each other, but actually working together better.
With about 30 seconds, what's the strength of someone whose personality is the doer?
Effectiveness. Gets things done. As a preacher, he'll get to the point and very quickly. It doesn't, you know, it's just not pious talk. As a preacher, he's going to preach the word and people will, you know, get it. I mean, he's highly effective in getting right to the point and getting it there, being effective at what he does, whatever he does.
Pastor Timothy Meck is our guest, part two of a three-part series with him on Pastors and Elders Today, Building Trust Between Pastors and Elders. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. We'll be right back. Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support. What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great. Do not fear the troubles in your life. Do not fear. Only believe.
We preach Christ crucified. I mean, that's the message that should resonate from every pulpit in inner city New York or in rural Nebraska.
It'll be interesting to see whether people will want to affiliate with Planned Parenthood, knowing that it is the Hotel California of charities, where you can check in but you can never check out.
Look at my head, and it's nice and shiny. That is not my real problem, that I'm going bald. My real problem is that I'm a sinner.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites to play for you, and then this is how the game goes. You listen, and then you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Any of the bites you want to pick, you do, and we just tally up the votes, and whoever gets the most is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We need you to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Sending us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Make sure you are ready to provide your city and your state and the reason you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Timothy Meck is our guest. It's part two of our three-part series with him on pastors and elders. Today we're talking about building trust between pastors and elders. Tim, the next one is the charmer. What is this personality kind, either in pastors or elders?
He's a people person. And he, unlike the doer, he creates a bond with people. People are important to him. While a doer might walk by someone without saying hi, a charmer builds an instant trust, really has empathy for others, builds trust, and people feel an instant connection. A weakness of a charmer is poor follow-through, can be anyway. And with regard to all of these, in my training guide for pastors and elders, I have both pastor and elders take an inventory of themselves and then have them inventory another person within the elders or the pastor to kind of identify these things. Now, remember, these are very stereotypical. But what it does is it gets you thinking about how a person acts, how a person, what the dominant personality style of a person is. We all possess all four, and one may be more dominant in one area of our lives rather than another. But it's helpful in getting to know one another and to understand where maybe some work needs to be done with either the pastor or the elders, or accessing the strength of the pastor or the elder.
Just to go through the other two briefly, the connector and the perfectionist. Talk about those two.
Connector is wants to build team, brings people together, very good at getting people to work together. Connectors tend to be middle children. They want everybody to get along. A weakness of a connector is that it's difficult for them to confront others. So say as a pastor, it's difficult to confront someone in their sin and dealing with it head on. And the perfectionist wants things done right. And while, like I said, a doer before wants to get things done, a perfectionist is more concerned about getting things done right. A perfectionist can drive a doer crazy because he'll slow a doer down. But the perfectionist will make sure that things are done in a proper way. A weakness is maybe being more concerned about data over people and also slowing things down, failing to make a decision quickly.
Now, you also write about, it's sometimes called emotional quotient, sometimes it's called emotional intelligence. And if I'm correct in my general perception, pastors, when measured by objective means in this area, tend to score
pretty
low.
We're not very good.
We're not good. Amazingly enough, we are kind of emotionally stunted. We lack, what should we say, lack basic social skills is the way someone might say it politely. So what's going on here? Is this just God calling the least qualified people into his pulpits?
Well, I learned about this through doxology, and that was a conference, a series of three conferences, 9 days of, and this was brought up, emotional intelligence being a very important thing in terms of relationship. Understanding yourself, being aware of what's going on with yourself and managing that, and also being understanding socially what's happening around you and managing relationships, understanding what's going on within you. So For example, if you begin to feel angry, it's not a good time to be talking with someone. You need to step back a little bit. Even the old count to 10 might be helpful before you say something that will be ruinous to your relationship with maybe an elder or another member of your congregation. So it's being aware of where you are emotionally so that you don't, you know, jump all over someone. And also being aware of the other person who you may be talking to is emotionally, understanding that and being sensitive to that.
One thing I've noticed as a pastor and then in dealing with other pastors is that pastors, because they occupy a position where the exercise of the authority of God's word is so prevalent, they can tend to assign their emotions a kind of righteous quality. If they're angry, they think themselves righteously angry, as an example. Talk about that, if you would, Pastor Mac.
You might. Well, first of all, none of our anger is righteous. We're all sinners. But it's not enough to be right. I mean, the purpose, again, is not to win an argument. The purpose is to reconcile with someone, to have peace with another person, whether it be an elder or a member of your congregation, and to understand what this is really about, the love of God, bringing us together with God and each other through the forgiveness of sins. And oftentimes, I think we're more concerned about being right than connecting or reconciling with someone.
Then let's talk about, if we could, the challenge that we face as pastors and elders together in a culture that in a lot of ways, and increasingly so, over time, I mean, over our short lives here, Tim, we've watched the culture disintegrate.
It's been amazing.
It's been remarkable, even more remarkable than the technological revolution is perhaps the cultural revolution. And the challenge is almost insurmountable for a man who wants to buck that trend, for elders who want to support their pastor in bucking that trend.
I mentioned how, well, quoting the scriptures, how we're not to be conformed to the world. But, oh my goodness, even among our members, among our people, we've been so, the culture has so shaped and formed us that we even think that God is simply at our beck and call to do what we want him to do, that he's just there to meet my needs. We almost look at him as we're the consumer, and the consumer is always right, and God should give me what I want, and if he doesn't, then I don't want anything to do with him. And we'll even go so far as, and this was something that really opened my eyes in the church, how people will, it's not so much that it's me, that people will outright lie to their pastor just to get what they want, even with regard to weddings and so forth. And I'll always work with somebody in the way of, you know, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, no matter where they are. But it's fascinating to me, like even with marriages, parents will even lie for their children. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when you find those things out later, wow, how do you start your marriage like that in terms of simply lying and even lying to your pastor? I just think things have really gone down.
You also mentioned athletics. We've got about a minute and a half here, and this is something that any pastor who watches things Sunday to Sunday, he knows when the volleyball tournaments are. He knows when the soccer tournaments are because he can see it reflected in empty pews. And that's a concern for elders as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, because and for children, the families though are following the kids, and there's not only the school teams, which are great, but there's club teams, and then there's traveling. They travel all over the country to play these games. So families are taken out of Sunday morning, and a lot of games start at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. There's no respect for what's going on a Sunday. And it's kind of a subtle thing. It's just slowly but surely taken parents out more and more and more. At times it was maybe here or there, but now it's almost depending on the sport. And a lot of the kids are in more than one sport. It's hard for them to get to church if they're going to be involved on these sports teams.
We're talking with Pastor Timothy Mack. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, part two of a three-part series we're doing with him on his new book called Pastors and Elders. It's the Issues, Etc., book of the month for February. This is one of those things that's just basic groundwork. And we need the basic groundwork again. We need the fundamentals again when it comes to our life together as pastors and people. It is because the fundamentals have been neglected and forgotten that things have and do deteriorate in congregations. And we're talking about building trust. This book is a great way to do that. You as a pastor or you as an elder with your pastor working together through a book like this, just going back over the basic groundwork of what it means to be the church. What does it mean to bear the word of God to one another? It is a remarkable resource. I highly recommend it. Find out more about Pastors and Elders from Concordia Publishing House, from Pastor Timothy Mack, at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with Pastor Mack, rounding off this part two of our three-part series. Then we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Foundational truths support real human rights.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
As Chuck Colson recently points out in an important commentary, the concepts of human rights as we know them can be traced back to one main idea, the Imago Dei, the idea that humans are made in the image of a divine God. Historically, this truth elevated the value of all humans in society. And it eventually gave rise to classical liberalism and even democracy in the Western world. But somewhere along the way, liberalism lost its way. Rather than humans created with unalienable rights, personal autonomy began to trump human value. Disregard for life inevitably followed.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Timothy Mack is our guest. We're talking about pastors and elders, their trust together, their task together in the church. Tim, you say we're all meditating, I mean every day, on something. The question is, what are we meditating on? What is the focus of Christian meditation, and how is this done?
The focus is on the Word of God. And, I mean, even if we take a passage a day, and a lot of our members use the portals of prayer, but starting the day with the Word of God and meditating on that and letting it work in and through you. And, you know, instead of meditating on what we do or what others have done or what others have done to us and it gets negative, or looking inside to the power of ourselves, you know, meditation just with looking within, we look outward to the Word of God. And that Word of God, through that Word of God, we have access to the blessings of God, not only for this life, but for the life to come. And we can have peace in the midst of our everyday lives, even in dealing with various issues that come before us. That Word of God, we need more of it, not less. I fear in the culture we're in, though, and the way people are kind of coming in and out of church, not having much of the Word of God there, even in church, that's a fear of mine. We need more, not less.
Next time we're going to be talking about vocation and accountability. What's in store when we talk with you again and conclude our series?
Well, in working with in vocation is to understand what a pastor is good at and maybe what he needs to work on and assisting him in working on that. With elders, same thing, understanding what they're good at and making use of those talents and where they have some weaknesses working on those issues. And with regard to accountability, I think this is something that's really important, to understand that we're accountable to God, but we're accountable to God through each other. That means we need to hold each other lovingly to what God says in His Word.
Pastor Timothy Meck is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. Tim, look forward to our conversation on Monday.
Hey, talk to you then. Thanks, Todd.